The Bible's against the language of cruelty. This is Jeremiah 22:26. Let's say it together. And the burden of the Lord shall ye not mention no more, for any man's word shall be his burden. For he hath perverted the words of the living God, and the Lord and the hosts our God. Perverted. Any addition, subtraction, or change in these modern verses is perversion. I didn't quote that word. I didn't use that word. God did. Perversion. And what is that? You see. It's better than that. I'm all right. Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't mean any harm, actually. I just trying to be honest. Okay, that's it. I'm going to try it again. Okay, but it starts here. Let's see. This continues. I want to go. They tell me when to quit. That's the longest. But I don't want to quit there. That's too soon. So these are perversions. These new versions have done just that. Technique is not the same as the King James Bible technique of translation. Don't add, don't subtract, and don't change. There's another verse. Jeremiah 26 and verse 2. Let's say it together. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee, speak unto them. Diminish not a word, all the words. Completely, don't you dare diminish or change in any way. That's the sister of the King James Bible. That's the technique. What's the technique? How many the texts are the right text, the right translator, but the right technique of translation? Then in Jeremiah 29, verse 23, let's see that again. Because they have committed villainy in Israel and committed adultery with their neighbor's wives. Have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know, and am a witness, saith the Lord. Again, this dynamic equivalent, where God calls them lying words. Anytime they add to God's words, they're not in the Hebrew, Aramaic, the Greek, or the original possible. They're adding, they're lying. They subtract God's words, they're lying. They change God's words, they're lying. I didn't use those words, I didn't call them liars. God calls them liars. Lying words in my name, which I have not commanded. Other verse, Amos 8 and verse 11, let's say that again. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord God, I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Like famine has arrived many years ago, I'm sad to say. The influx of these very, very vigilant, new translations. They've changed the word. Dr. Jack Norman has mentioned his book, big thick book, in 8,000 places in the New Testament alone, the Greek text, the unlike these modern verses, 8,000 changes. 356 of those changes have changed with doctrinal changes. And the famine of the Word of God, of hearing the Word, the true Word. We take away 8,000 places in the New Testament alone. It's changed 356 doctrines, vital doctrines of Scripture. You have a famine of God's Word. But let's stop there. These Jews are going to take more and more and more and more away and through. And there will be a real famine. And we'll be able to understand what God is saying to us. That's not the technique of translation that God used in the King James Bible. Thank you. Excellent translation. They don't have to take away or change that word. In the Bible, against them, the book in Matthew 4, verse 4, Lord Jesus said this word, let's say it again. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out in the mouth of God. That was the Lord Jesus' answer to Satan after he was there in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. No bread, no water. And Satan said, do this to that man. No, I'm not going to add. Man shall not live by every word. Not one that's added, not one that's subtracted, not word that came. But every word. How do you get every word? They don't translate every word from Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek original text. That's dynamic proof. That's sin. The Lord Jesus says every word is important. In Luke 9, verse 26, it says that again. For whosoever forbids sin to me and of my words, I'll tell him for the Son of Man be ashamed. And he shall come in his own glory, his own Father, and the holy angels. The Lord Jesus said that to people in his day. Whosoever forbids sin to me and of my words. Now those who use the King James Bible should never be ashamed of the act of translation of this Hebrew American word, or Greek word, into the English language. A lot of people are ashamed. They said, oh, like this, or like that. But if we're ashamed of His word, the accurate translation of the King James is in English language, of Him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. I hope none of us would feel the ashamedness of our Savior when we don't know and follow the changes, real, genuine, accurate word. Not only that, but in His own glory, and in His Father, and the Holy Angel, we'll all be ashamed. May we never be ashamed. A lot of people are ashamed of the disease and the vows. This is when Nicodemus asked the Lord Jesus, what shall man do to be saved? He says, what does that mean about thee and vows? What am I, what John 3:7, what is that? I'm trying to figure out the verse. Not what the saying of thee, Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. Now, if we use the regular translation to take out the these and the vows and the ye's, singles and plurals, we will not understand what the Lord is saying. Nicodemus, whosoever should born is to be ashamed of me. What shall I say unto thee? And if there's one singular thee, all the T's are singular. And the King James Bible has shown that from the Greek language. Thee, thou, thyself. What shall I say to thee? To thee, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Every word that is in this, I think of the days of the water, it's plural. Ye, yourselves, and so on. He's saying, all you Pharisees, if you don't have a King James Bible, you will not understand the Lord Jesus' message. And so he's saying, whatsoever born again, ascend of thee, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And all these other perversions, don't be ashamed what I sell to you. You shall all be born again. You and me. You don't know what it is. It's the Greek language. It's actually translated in our King James Bible. The Jews and the Jews and the Jews. Never be ashamed of those words. Luke 21:23. Let's say it over again. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words shall not pass away. His words have been preserved. It's been preserved in the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Greek. And the King James Bible in English translated the English faithfully all these words, Old Testament words, New Testament words. And so those are the words, and English will not pass away, just the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic as well. And John 14, verse 23, let's say that today. Jesus said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. My Father shall love him, and we will come unto him. Make our bold with him. How can a man keep his word if he or she does not have those words? And when you subtract God's word, you don't have it. When you add to God's word, you don't have it. When you change God's word, you don't have it. You must have accurate, not only Greek and Hebrew words, but accurate translation of words in the English, Spanish, French, German, all over the world. And that's what we have in King James Bible, accurate translation of His words. If you love me, you've got to keep them. It's one thing to know them, another thing to keep them, to follow them. Some Christians do not know His words because they don't read the Bible. They don't read all the Hebrew and everything like that. They read the Old Testament, they're not bothering with it. And they're not written for us, they're written for us. And they don't read the Old Testament from all the way through. And how can you keep what you do not know? Absolutely impossible. It's hard enough to keep what we do know. He says, to love me, keep, obey, hold to my word. Revelation 3:16, let's say that today. After Abraham and his seed with the promise of me, he said, not the seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And to thy seed, even the difference between plural seeds and singular seeds. Even though singular and plural are important in accurate translation of God's word. In Revelation 22 and verse 18, I'll say that to you. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. I would not want to be a translator of this new version that adds to God's word. God promises in Revelation, that last book that we have in our Bible, last book God gave us, add the plagues written in this book. It's everything to add to that picture. Then Revelation, in goodness, let me see, up, yes, I forgot that. In Revelation 22 and 19, let's see that one here. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Take me away, this part. I believe that part is the reward that God gives to the people of His word. No reward is the judgment of Jesus Christ. They're all the genuine Christians that will appear before Him one day. But the promises of God are not to add or to take away His words in any way they perform. That's a command of the Lord. So then they keep His word. Now the second person is singular and second person is plural in the things of God. Just to emphasize this, it's a small thing, but in the King James Bible, the singular pronouns of the King James always begin with a T, you mentioned earlier. Thou, nominative, uses a subject. The objective uses the object of the verb. Thy, as possessor, thy word. Thine, and thyself, reflective. These are all proper. The King James Bible uses them. And you can't distinguish the New Testament, for example, or even Old Testament, with a single to plural, they say you. So that's plural you, like you all, or whether it's a single, there's one person you. Important that we have this. Then the second person singular, second person plural. The plural pronouns, as I said before, always begin with why. He is always a nominative. We are the people of God. This is the subject. You is always the objective. Unto you is commanded. You should be always an objective. And the action. Yourself, reflection. And these are important things. I know the New King James Version, they say, well, let's take out these we's and the vows and thyself and all these others. But if they take all those out, you can't understand what the words mean. Marvel out that they say unto you, you must be born again. You is not. These singular Nicodemus, you all you Pharisees, you must have these singular controls, the T word singular, the Y pronoun plural. None of them. The Lord Jesus is speaking with me, that's exactly the one who said. And notice what they're doing in Jerusalem. In John 3:7, the Revised Standard Version, for the modern apostate. Don't do not marvel that I said unto you, it must be born anew. Certainly, what a singular year for you. And the New American Standard Version, again used by many people, for the marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. They don't have a new singular year for it. John 3:7, do not marvel that I said unto you, it's the New King James Version, you must be born again, and with a singular year. In the NIV, in the National Version, John 3:7, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again, all the other singular plural. The New Revised Standard Version, NRSV, John 3:7, do not be astonished by telling you, you must be born from above. The New Century Version, again in John 3:7, don't be surprised when I tell you, you must all be born again. Not till you come to the King James Bible, you know the truth. Don't throw away the these and the vows, please. Don't be ashamed of the these and the vows, please. They're accurate translations of the Greek text. because of the thinness of fluid. Marvel not that it's anything. Is that a singular or plural? Singular. Ye, is that a singular or plural? Plural. All you fast is entered in, not just you, but that the aspects of creation only in the changing world and changing way. Now here's another example. Christ speaking to Peter. Now in the Revised Standard Version, Luke 22, 31 to 32, they say this, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. And I pray for you, that your faith cannot fail, and you have turned again, strengthened your brethren. You don't know it anywhere when you use this false version of the real you, a singular plural. You just blindly put it all out there. And then those points to the same version in the New Record Standard Version. Satan demanded that the rest of sift you like wheat, pray for you, your faith, and you have once you have turned your brothers, you don't know that either. The same is true in the New King James Version. A lot of people are pushing the New King James. After asking about that the other evening, some of the people are wondering about that. He has written BFT, Bible study number 1442. I put in about 100 pages. I went to Genesis Revelation on New King James Version. Every time they changed the New King James Version, I put a note in. I went to the end of the thing. I didn't put similar words or words that are almost the same. Just want to completely change. I came up with 2,000 words. And then I alphabetized them, all these things, A to Z. I put that into an actual picture in the Oregon Jesus. BFN was 1442, and they do not care about the singulars and plurals. They do not care about the reason about it. New King James. It's all just an updating of the things. It's not an update. 2,000 places they've changed, and they're significant changes. I didn't add them to that. There are probably 4,000 or 5,000. It's a little bit similar words. I don't add those. It's the specific changes in New King James. Again in Luke 22:31, and this is the new answer. Simon, Satan's asked you again, I pray for you, that your faith changed back when you return, strengthen your brother. You know what that same word for it. You don't know and understand what that is saying. Then in your Bible, they have that one, they're exactly what he's saying. The Lord said unto Simon Peter, behold, Satan has desired to have you. All you apostles, not secular, not just you, Peter, all your apostles, that he may sift you, all your apostles, as wheat. But I pray for thee, singular or plural. Singular, Peter, especially I pray for thee, that thy faith, singular or plural, singular, they are not. And when thou art converted, singular or plural, singular, Peter, strengthen thy brother, singular or plural. Only the King James Bible is the active translation, you know, singular and plural. They have not done that accidentally. They've done that purposely. Purposely, they put those words differently, thee, all the key words, singular, thyself, thou, ye, all the ye words with ye, yourselves, and ye, as plural. Now, in the fifth chapter of that book, here's the fourth superiority of the King of God. Superior, God's word, kept intact in English, because superior theology. That's the fourth superiority of the King of God. Back in the book table, you'll find it. The man gave away his copy. Give you one free. Take one. You need to replace that. You give that somewhere where you go. There's lots of superior theology. This is our last division. Tonight and tomorrow night, we'll go into details. Theology or doctrine for the faith. Very, very important. As we said earlier, I've got you back to the book table. This book by Dr. Jekyll, one of our apostles, one of our missionaries in London, England. And he wrote a book called 8,000 Differences Between the False Westside and Poetry Test and the Text of Subject Undermining the King of God. 8,000 Differences. It's that in documents. That verse is being used in the NIV, for example. It says what it is, and says what the Greek is, and what the Greek isn't. And wonderfully, he's a scholar of Talmudy, a great writer. He's written 5 books and 10 books. We have all those on the internet and look for the truth about the false doctrine. 8,000 different. Now, this other book, he also wrote, Dr. Norman, 352 passages in the Greek New Testament involving doctrine. And that's pages 119 to 312, almost 200 pages. It shows clearly the doctrines that are missing in the most modern version. You say, well, they don't change much, they're all the same, so no, they're not all the same. And again, a great scholar, appreciated ministry, as I say, one of our great missionaries in our church, praise God for him. He spoke at our last meeting, we're going to decide to make it to the internet. We're glad for it. And he's the one that gave us the information that the Sinai manuscripts were false. Which is the Sinai, the Babylon Sinai manuscript on which is new version of days. The claim was that claim is 350 BC, that's when they're written. And he said the old are always the best. They've got to follow them, even if they're Romans. Well, he shows very clearly in his book that the Sinai manuscript is not 350 BC or AD. It's a book. We've got at least one in there before they've done a book before. It's not in 350 AD. It's not as old as they've got to follow the whole thing. 1800s is when they look at them. So clearly, 1800s. They've been largely with the modernist and apostate, and that's the oldest one with the Vatican manuscript. It shows their very clearly. And then it's in his Bible, as it said to the core, it held up, they have the fourfold superiority. And it's in his superior text, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Superior in its content, we talked about that before also. Superior in its technique, its verbal code, the words, the code. And then not the name of the word, it's formal code, the forms of the word, global from Hebrew and the Greek English. And it's theology, superiority in its theology. That's what I'll stick up tonight and tomorrow. Probably the most valuable of all four superiorities of King James Bible. 2 Corinthians 4, 1-2, let's read it there. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we pay not. But renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, and handling the word of God deceitfully. This is very important to see that we don't handle God's word in a deceitful manner. Then there's falsehood and lies being defined. Now, if you've learned what a falsehood is, well, this is definitely, it's one of conformity to facts or the truth. Anytime we have a falsehood, it's not that conformed to facts or the truth. What is a lie? A false statement made with intent to deceive. And the unabridged doctrine in the statement. And falsehoods and lies. Now there's 14 false statements about New Testament doctrine. The first one is written by what kind of court? These are the ones who were the sources and the ones behind all these modern Greek texts of the New Testament. They said there are no signs of deliberate falsification of the text for dogmatic purposes. No signs. There's no signs offered Dr. Jack Mormon by 356 doctrine passages for deliberate falsification in doctrine. And then A.G. Pearson, who's a Christian man, said about disputed renderings of these modern versions of thought. He says, not one reflects a single vital doctrine of the Word of God. Well, how can that Mormon, Dr. Mormon, go through and see 356 doctrinal passages that are different and do change the Word of God? Now, one of two things is true of these men who make these statements. Either they don't know the truth about them, or they know the truth and they're lying about them. In either case, no knowledge, they shouldn't write about it. There's no other thing shut up, be silent, close their mouths, put away their pens, their typewriters, and their internet, whatever they use. And if they don't know, and if they do know, they shouldn't lie about it. And that was the Lord's Tablet, I think it was Christian. And he says that no fundamental doctrine has been changed in the least of the later version, or the version again, falsely. And if you knew about it and said it, it's a lie. And then, my fourth statement, this is from John R. A. Now, he may have been a great evangelist, I'm sure he was. But in this statement, he's totally wrong. I would say either that he didn't know it, but I hope that's the truth. Because he shouldn't have made it if he doesn't know about it. He's lying. I hope he just doesn't know. I hope that. But if he doesn't know, he shouldn't know anyway. Not a single doctrine has been missed in our translation of all these long versions. If it cannot be missed, how could Dr. Jeff Norman find 350 scriptures in the fourth time? Again, Robert Sumner, he's a, I know Robert Sumner. He's a Bible believing Christian. And he wrote the rare part. But about which there's still uncertainty. Without effect, that's how he's spelled. It's a long song. Without effect, would be an A, the effects of E, in any way, any doctrine. Again, Robert Sumner, he didn't know what he couldn't have written. I knew about it in my, I hope it's just a good note. I think that's rather big of a lie, isn't it? Now, Robert Thomas, I think he's also one of the believers. He says, no major doctrine of scriptures affected by variant reading. Then, after that, the truth of 356 documents have been found and documented in this book by Dr. Jack Moon. Impossible if that is the truth. Then, he's asking all I'm sure he was probably the Christian. He says, no doctrine is effective. Again, false indeed. He's saying to Gundry, I think he was probably a Christian. He says, that's no outstanding problem in any of these new versions. It's not affect doctrine or divine command. Ernest Pickering. Now, Dr. Ernest Pickering went to class with me in Dallas without the sermon. 4 years straight. In all the classes. I believe in Christian, a friend of mine for years, is this important difference of textual reading. Almost none would affect any major Christian doctrine. Ernie Pickering was dead wrong. Either because he didn't know any better, I don't think he had any lies, I just think he wasn't, didn't know what the truth was. Well, Ernie, if you don't know what the truth is, shut up and don't make a statement about it as false. Make sure you're right before you talk. Anyway, here's Richard DeHaan. Now, Dr. Emily DeHaan, the father of Richard, godly man, used the King James Bible, had great effect on my ministry. We were at the University of Michigan for 3 years, a 4-year course. I wanted to marry my wife. She's been in the Moody for 4 years. I want to take it early, so my dad paying the tuition. I'm going to go summer winter, but for 4 years and three. So after I was 3 years, we married, and happily married for 7 years. Anyway, Dr. Richard, he went to Bible classes every Friday night, great teacher, great influence in my ministry. But his son, Richard DeHaan, said this wrongly. Dr. DeHaan was on the wall, but not his son. None of the thousands of variants denies one foundational Christian truth. False, and I don't think he's necessarily lying. He just didn't know any of it. They don't know any of it. Please, put your pen or newspaper or whatever you write, pencil or whatever it is, paper, put it away and don't say it. Well, Bob Jones Jr., Bob Jones University, the senior was the founder, junior was the son. Again, he says, the choice of manuscripts is not a matter of orthodoxy versus heterodoxy. It certainly is. That's why Bob Jones University for years. Oh, they used the thing they used to. Don't use it anymore. They used to follow the New American Standard, but now they're following and selling the books of English Standard Version, which is their vision of modern supposed to revise Standard Version. But anyway, Bob Jones Jr. says, it's not a matter of orthodoxy versus heterodoxy. It certainly is. He didn't know any better than that. Then, number 12. No substantial from John Ankerberg. He wanted to be on his TV program one time. I noticed he had some problems, some laws were coming out, but I got off and so on. But I'm sure he's just with the nine, but he says, but most effective of new versions are seriously compromised doctrine. Well, if there are 356 doctrinal compromises, why is he making this false statement? He didn't know it was false or lie. I hope he didn't know it was true without him didn't know it was false. Ken Barker, the International Version, which is a horrendous version indeed, there's a difference between the Texas Federal, PR, and WHS Western Health false pretense. No basic Christian doctrine hinges on that. Again, if you didn't know it was true, you shouldn't admit it. That's a false statement. How can we find 356 of these? He says no basic doctrine hinges. And Dan Wallace of Alabama. My school, my former school, which taught me the false Greek text. I didn't know about it for 10 or 15 years until someone told me about Dean Burgon. I went to the Christian library, got Dean Burgon's book, The Religion of Life, learned the truth. From that day of this, I've been teaching truth until the falsehoods I was trained at Dallas Theological Seminary with the false version. And the Daniel Wall says, no essential doctrine has been affected by any of these variants between the text receptors, the West Covenant practice. Again, a false statement. There's a 14 false statement by New Testament doctrine. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2, 8. Let's say it together. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. Whether we announce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, but handling the word of God deceitfully. And we shouldn't handle God's word deceitfully at all. It should be true in all our handling of it. Again, we define falsehood as want of conformity to fact or truth. Find earlier a lie, a false statement made with intent to deceive. Now there's 22 more false statements. I'm not through, not just 14. Please, be patient. Dr. Tiffany. Now, there's a book that was written by the leaders of Bob Jones University, which three or four of my sons graduated from. Some of our daughters graduated from. The olden days was wonderful. Nothing like that anymore. They can't trust them. We got a president who has a contemporary Christian music ministry. They got a head of the music department of the contemporary Christian ministry. And they've, I'm sure, changed all that and changed many, many things. They wrote a book about them. God's Word, some of the teachers did. God's Word I am. I answered by fundamental deception on Bible preservation, answering that book. Let's look at this one. Misinformation about doctrinal differences. There are seven lies that are found in that book. With God's Word in our hands, the Bible preserved for us, edited by James Williams, one of the teachers, and Randolph Taylor, one of the teachers as well. Proposition 24, on page 18. Williams wrote, no doctrine of the Christian faith is really corrected by the use of these translators. Absolute falsehood. Again, I hope he wasn't lying about it. He just didn't know. He didn't know, couldn't write about it. Bob Jones University shouldn't have published that book either if they know about it. Quotation number 27 of my book by Activism. Page 19. Williams wrote, the Christian faith is not threatened when someone uses one of its conservative, newer translations. There's no conservative, newer translation. Every one of them is false, not conservative. And it seems, how can we have no conservative, doctrine of Christian faith is changed by newer translations if it's just more than 356 of them. Here's a third quotation. Number 48, page 12 in my book. Hutchison is quoted there. Because R.A. Troy was approved. Quote, when all the variation of any significance have been reduced to the minimum which is possible to do by careful study of manuscripts, there is not one single variation left that affects any doctrine held by evangelical churches. How could that be that moment by 356 of them? There's not a single one of them to expect. Pastor Jesus is such a point of future. If you add the 134, you know, if I have 134, add 45 to that, please, and tell me what it is. 134 plus 45.
175.
You want to go, okay, what's 175, then I'll go 170, four more, thank you, I'll finish it up tomorrow, I forgot to look at that total. 170, thank you. Here's another book by two teachers. Five verse ratio, five of Sam, what is it? Sam, what's his name? Sam can read that? Schneider, Sam Schneider, and Ron Tucker, both of the teachers of Bob Jones University. I answered that. I said, Bob Jones, error. Bob Jones, you're the errors on Bible preservation. I think maybe one of these books is back in the book they both had it. Let's take a look at what the Bob Jones man said on me. We have two more slides, and we'll take the rest of it up from one night. This is the Bible Preservation, the Bible Sabbath, by Sam Snyder and Ron Fisher Theatre. Number 85, on statement 85, they said, none of these variants affect me, much less doctrine. No doctrine affected. Again, a false statement from a great universal formula here, and it is true, how could Dr. Jagmar find and write in a book, not just find them, write in a book and tell you every page and every document protected, but this early manuscript, good father, and the author of 200 pages, specifically listing the 200, or rather 356 doctrinal perversions. He's the scholar that found them out. These pretended scholars of Bob's University are not scholars. They tell you lies, they're not scholars. I don't know if they lied, I think they were ignorant of the fact. Statement 87. The most important conclusion that even these few variants is that affect me should not affect doctrine. If it don't affect that, how could Dr. Jagmar find 356 doctrinal passages? Statement number 88 of this book. It cannot be stressed too heavily, quote, that one textual variant affects when one single teacher of Scripture, fully 100% of the Greek New Testament is free from variants that will alter doctrine. This thing is about their false Greek Testament based on the Western Word of the Church to use. It's a false statement. I don't call them liars, but they shouldn't be saying that. They don't know the truth about it. They should do the research that Dr. Jack Mullen did the research. And, or see his book and find out the truth. 356 doctrinal passages that are saying, have been saying, they definitely change in that particular world. They definitely change. And then, statement number 84, which is, I guess we're on to the ninth statement. The most important conclusion that even those few variants, does that mean do not affect doctrine? And then statement number 88, a quote, it cannot be stressed too heavily that that one textual variant affects even one single teaching of Scripture. Fully 100% of the Greek New Testament is free from variants at all times. If they have the right New Testament Greek, that's one thing, but see that. It is the false Greek text, which has some 8,000 pages, 356 of them, do affect doctrine and Scripture. And false statement 96, or 108 rather, that I wrote in my my answer to this book, they're quoting Bengel. And they say, Bengel proves that manuscript variation between the false Greek manuscript and the right one does not affect doctrine. His theories earned him the title of father of textual criticism. That father is dead wrong. They do affect doctrine, 356 passages, laid out specifically in that book, 200 pages of it. Dr. Jagmar makes no mistake. He researches the facts that has them and he writes them down in a book and we publish the book. We send them out to people to get them. And then, do you take this from here? 112, page 97. They disagree in the manner and detail. All of them agree that not a single doctrine scriptural image is reflecting again or falsely. Statement 115, number 115, 13 statement, page 103. Third most important, none of these views necessarily disturbs the orthodoxy of the Christian church. It's plainly and plainly taught in Scripture. Again, new versions that teach God's only worship. What was that total factor? Those numbers? 1. Or what's 39? I think of it. Yes. One more reason. They're all over the top of the you're going to talk this to them all night. But Satan has 131 on page 120. I write this quote. They write this. The variants have minimal importance to preservation because they're comparatively few. Well, in my last when I went to school, 356 is not few. That's right. 1 and 2 on 2, that's few. 3 or 4. But because no Christian doctrine is affected by them. Well, 356, to be honest with you. Table number 15. They say, quote, no doctrine is lost. All the words are preserved in the mass of men's evidence. And their false preconceptions. That's the false statement again. And number 16. According to Mollen, acknowledges that the sum of all the variant readings taken together does not give a ground to the significant doubt as to any one of the fundamental points of faith in God. 356 is really changed. It does it. Well, we have time to address some questions or comments about it here, Sunday. Hope to be back tomorrow night. We're going to finish the era of the King James Bible in the doctrine. Do you have any questions? Please call me. Yes, ma'am. The question is Latin the first language taken from the Greek, put in another language? The Latin Vulgate. No, Latin was not the first. Now, the old Latin is proper. Spanish or Texas, that's the original old Latin. But the Latin Vulgate was more modern, and that changes many, many verses and many, many false doctrines that are contained therein. And so there are many other doctrines or other languages which are in the Bible, rather than the language of the Bible changes. But as you said last night, Latin wasn't the first, but the old Latin was one of the very first. But the Latin Vulgate, which is more modern, they changed it in all kinds of things. See, the other Latin, the old Latin, Zephyr Sakala, they call it, the old Latin, they have many, many things that sound and change. But the new Vulgate was different. You tell them, your father's in there? Father in law. Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you. Other question I have a comment. Well, Baptist, are there more questions? You're free to come up and close the question.
So, something that I heard they take great lengths to defend their culture.
Yes.
We see this in political rights today, don't we? We really do. And it's astounding to us that they would do that. We work hard to try to defend the truth. Now, we're sinners. We're saved by grace. But as we study the Bible, that's what we're working at. We're finding that truth. They don't have the Lord. This is hard to defend the truth. And these are detailed statements. Am I right? This is the only falsehood. Mm-hmm. That always kind of shocks me, really. But the more we try hard to obey the truth, and we don't always, but we try, right?
That's
we
good.
Work at heart. They were just smart. It's, you know, that's me.
I have a question because I've thought a lot about this for a long time. I don't understand the fundamentalists well. They have to know the difference. that's different stuff. And it's all about, we know that. It has to be. The upper echelon, people in college, they can be creeps. I mean, how can a professor from the university, and they can be teaching from the university? I don't understand that.
Well, the question was, the principals in every echelon of the Christian faith should know whether they teach from these group versions, whether they teach properly or not properly, and whether they're right or wrong. And from the school department, what is this answer to this? The Christian, so-called Christian colleges. I was calling the district for 2 years ago, that was at the Cedarville Baptist College, and we talked about many years ago. Well, they've changed now. Those are the doctors of diversity. They don't teach that they don't teach the sexual substance, they teach the new Western world, which is a false Christianity. It changes the sexual substance in the United States. And my school now, you think all the schools and colleges know the business? Well, if they know the business, they don't believe it's true business, they go to the old false Greek text, what they call the Western world. Or that's the wrong text, or all these other names of that false Greek text. That's what they're using. That's what they believe is true. And they smear and knock the type. That's the received text that I'm like the thinking about it. Called the text of the text. Or the various other words that are used for it. And so when they're not being taught the truth, they know all of that truth is for them. As I said the other day, when I went to Dallas Theological Center, which I thought was the Bible reading school. I learned many things about that. They're talking about Hebrew, Greek, and homiletics, and various other things. But there's a bookstore, and the first one goes for a Greek class, and I mentioned in the Testament Greek and Hebrew at that school. In one of the bookstores, they gave us the West Country Horn Greek text. That's what we used throughout that whole school. They never thought of even such a thing as we would see. You should take the effect of it. And that brings poverty. Plus, I knew it was wrong text they had in the world. And that's, as I said, by then, you know, for 10, 12, 15 years. That's all I knew. I go out to the little girl, and one of my classes was from Shelton College, a professor of Greek and speech. And Sandy raised her hand one day, and she said, Dr. Wakeman, you know, there's another book in my library that has a real Greek text. I said, no, Sandy, I don't know, why is that book? It's called The Revision of God by Dean John and William Bogan. As I said before, I went to Princeton Seminary, got that book, came back and read it, and I got the truth. He told the true Greek text. And throughout his founder, he explained the errors of false Greek text. So that's into this. It might change minds, it might teach the truth that his school, Christian college, and all the schools, they don't teach that stuff. Once we know the foundation Bible college, in Durham, North Carolina, after H.C. Spence, as the president of the pastor of that church, the only school I know of is currently, and maybe others, but I don't know whole wrong, but I've seen many, the only one left, that teach the text of the shepherds in their school. And they're called fundamentals in their doctrine, and they're called a remnant. The fundamentals churches, like this church here, our church in Collinsville, New Jersey, the Bible Baptist Church, we're part of the remnant. But that basis thing, wrote a whole book, I read it twice, I wrote the second half of it. It's called Historic Fundamentalism, It's Rise and Fall. And that's exactly what's happened through these years of fundamentals. Started one way, it's gone. This is the only school I know that teaches the club one. And Ren Churchill, he calls that the remnant. The remnant of the fundamentals is the remnant. We just passed one of them. We are teaching this fundamental doctrine of faith. But very, very few are still fundamentals, rising for. As you say, they still think over the school. No, they do not know the school. They've been called as others for a Dallas seminar. A huge seminar. Dr. Lewis J. Shaker was the president. All 40 of his class were from Massachusetts. And he died after that. He got teachers. A great teacher. But they're not teaching that truth at all. Sad, that hope that some more remnant, like our church, the best of this, just that.
If I understand correctly, you do say that those fundamentals do basically, you say like this, basically the generation, you know, that believe the West Coast before falsehood, mm-hmm. and that's why they're here. Okay. Am I correct that, that when they, what was it, West Coast before, that set up some of the rules to decide what's a good place and bad, mm-hmm. and one of them was shorter is better. Mm-hmm. So if you take away part of the word of God, they said that's great.
That's who it's after. He's asking about these truths, these things. The text of Scripture, the key text of the Lion King of the Bible. And they say the oldest is the best, and the shorter the best, all these rules. And they've changed. They're no longer, they say, the only school that's teaching that I know about is the Foundation Bible College in Dunn, North Carolina. They've asked me to go there the next month. And we want our critique with this conference we're having there. So we asked Dr. Spencer to come to our Dean Book Effort Friday last July. He came on Sue Bachel, the late, this busy Lord, and he's been there 40 years, for the present 40 years of that, the Bible study, the Dean Book Effort Friday. And he invited me to visit that school, but he's got the whole school, he's very careful, the small school. Because you got maybe 35 or 10, they want their old 50. Every one of them is teaching, one teacher, actually a graduate of that school, to keep us faithful. It's called a remnant of true fundamentals teaching you doctrine, not teaching you false precepts, as you say. So now, all of these foreign schools think the word dead wrong to stand for the received text of unrighteousness from your body. So surely we're fools with, the lack of it in the mind, whatever they call it, foolish and sane. No, they absolutely could. Figure out complete change. And those of us who stand in our scriptures for the fundamental doctrine, including things in the Bible, the text that underlies, were part of the fundamental movement on remnant, a very small remnant. That's why I wrote one in this book, and a tremendous book. That made me get that back to that one. Now the short fundamentalism rise and fall. Look at steps and birth right through the years of it commonly look and all fifth of the same kind of remnant of this book. But we have to get
that.
Can't you stand up on the wrong one or stop? Please stop it. This is a book of that little girl standing close by the great Anna. It's called Dean Burger's book called Revision of the Bible. Revision of the Bible. Do you want a copy?
That's the Dean Burger class.
Dean Burger was a man who was an Anglican man in 1800. And he was the one that lived the same time the West Cotton Horton. And the West Cotton wrote all their false books. Dean Burger rose up and stood against it. Took the revision of eyes, the traditional text, and there's five books, at least published books, they're available if you want. We'll get it to the Bible Day ministry, just write us and tell you how to get that book. It's been published. But Dean Burgon was one that stood up, and he was not on mission used by a version committee, which because he stood for different versions. They didn't like him, didn't support him, didn't hate him, but he died. Citizen was the picture of his death. He had his books on his side. And they were dying to see those books. He praised God for them. And his man was under him, finished a couple of books, added that, so we have full copies. And it's just full written set down, we finished. But Dean Burgon was a man of scripture, which he said. And the guest was Cotton Horse, which was right at the same time. They thought it was cool. It was fast and it was fun. And the Anglicans took a little bit of other doctrine. It's a thing, don't get me wrong. But this particular thing, we do agree. That's what we named the organization, the Dean Burgon Society. Because he stood up, followed it, the text of subject and extreme gender.
It's probably about time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll talk.
But brother, can I just say this?
Okay.
Melody's question about why are these people doing this, or really, you know, anyone following it. Mm-hmm. I'll ask like Brother Shepherd. Would I be right in saying that it's just the great deception of Satan? That's the underlying matter here, am I right? In other words, they're smart. These people are smart. Why? Well, it's just a deception of the devil, like he desires to deceive us. We have to be careful too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. The first thing is ignorance of the truth. But who's behind the ignorance? You're right, it's the devil himself. He's a liar, he desires to fool people, and he just pulls all the happy to bed. The Torah's happy to bed. That's a deliberate falsehood. And then what's that in order? If you use the Vatican sign and not for the city, the sign and not for not 350 a year, it's 1800. I believe Congress sent him to the Vatican and had proof of it. As we are Satan to deceive your world back, and the error comes from Satan, and people are writing and just disagreeing with the truth.
Your first slide was yea of God Satan.
Yea of God Satan question. He shall know the truth, the truth and the truth.
That shows how strong the deception can be, and we have to be careful. You know, we do.
Right?
All right. Very good.
Okay.
Thank you, Robert. And so, folks, let's be part of the reality. Let's turn this to closing song. Debbie, would you come? Thank you for coming. And now, remember, we're going to have all of this presentation on a CD. And I say it's a valuable.